chapters before us here tonight that we've read together, chapter 2, chapter 3, are especially important to me, for it was through these verses that I was called into the ministry. But of course, tonight I want to use them in a different context, and in the context of the work of LTBS. LTBS, of course, are the letters for Let the Bible Speak, and it is our work to make sure that the message of the Word of God is presented. And when we come to these portions of God's Word, we have here a man called of God to preach, to declare the Word of the Lord. And as we think of the call that was given here to Ezekiel, the role that he was to play, the environment in which he was to preach, I believe there is a great context in which these words could be attributed today, so that we could take what is said to Ezekiel and apply it immediately to our own circumstances and the age now in which we live. Now, in thinking of these verses, the very first thing that strikes us is Ezekiel is called to a particular kind of people. Yes, they are the children of Israel. Yes, they are that nation that was especially blessed of God. But yet, if you read chapter 2, and I'm sure as you were following the reading, you would have noticed something, that as God refers to those captives that are now in the Chaldean kingdom in captivity, you will have observed and noticed how God describes them. They are not anything like what the people of God ought to be. If you look at the passage with me briefly, you will see in verse 3 that Ezekiel is called to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against God, against me, God says. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. Verse 4, they're impudent, they're stiff-hearted. If you follow the verses on down, verse 6, Ezekiel was told, you will be dwelling, as it were, amongst thorns and briars, amidst scorpions. If you look there at verse 7, the end of that verse, they are most rebellious. And if you go down the passage, chapter 2 and 3, you will find that nearly every verse has something to say about the rebellious nature of the people. They are but anything like what a people of God ought to be. Because in reality, they're sinners. That's the nature of the hearts of all. In the work of Let the Bible Speak, we are reaching out to a lost people. A people that are sinful. In this house tonight, it may well be the case, I imagine it to be so, that there are those in the meeting, and you're included in that description. Because as yet you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I have to tell you, the Word of God has nothing good to say about man. In fact, the Word of God says there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is nothing good toward God at all. The heart, we're told, it is deceitful, it is desperately wicked, so much so, who can know it? If you've come into this meeting tonight and you expect the preacher to give you a lift in your heart and in your soul, if you're unsaved, and as it were, lift up your spirit, as if you are to be told there's something good in you, we have to say, there's nothing in this book that has anything good to say about the soul of man. Because we're rebellious. And we're sinners. In fact, if you look at this passage, you will see in verse 4, God calls them impudent and stiff-hearted. In the margin it reads, hard of face. And of course, the more you delve into the subject of man, then the more you see a rebelliousness, a stiff-heartedness, an impudence of face, a hardness, if you like. Because the nature of man and the nature of the soul is such, not only is it rebellious, but as it were, it seems to deepen its rebellion. A couple of verses come to my mind here. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. We're told, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of man is fully set in him to do evil. You know that, don't you? How often preachers have warned of judgment to come, and warned of hell, and an eternal judgment forever in hell. But because that sentence is not executed speedily, then people go on in their rejection of God, day by day, fueling, as it were, their rebellion against God. So much so, the Bible has to say, he that being often reproved, hardening their heart, shall suddenly be cut off, that without remedy. And the message then of God's word about the heart of man is not therefore a popular message, nor is it an easy message to preach. There are those who think, and if we may pinpoint the Free Presbyterian Church and the Free Presbyterian ministry, and pinpoint, as it were, the ministry of that church, and say, oh, you preachers, you just love to tell people that they're sinners. Do no such thing. Do you not think it would be a nice thing to be able to come to the pulpit and have to say something really good about people generally? The natural sense, the natural reaction would be, yes, we would like to say something good about man, but the Bible tells us quite differently. We're not here to give our message. We're here to give God's message. And God says concerning man, there is none that doeth good. And it has to warn him constantly about the dangers of rejecting Christ and rejecting the gospel. And that's the burden of the ministry and the burden the preacher has got to carry. It's an awkward message then to the world. It's a negative message, for the world doesn't want to hear it. But you will notice here that Ezekiel is told, I send thee, and you are to give the message that I send and I give. You take my words, you give those words to the people. If I may apply that to the work of LTBS, what is the work of the radio ministry all about but to deliver that message? Yes, there are great themes in the gospel of salvation, pardon from sin. But included in that is the need of the heart of man. That's a message the world does not want to hear. I find it surprising that in this 21st century now, LTBS has managed to get onto 5 radio stations in Northern Ireland, is also broadcasting on Premier Radio in London, and has these opportunities to deliver that message of the Word of God. But I suppose it's because it's supposed to be an inclusive society, so the right is therefore given to all. But you pray that we might be faithful to that message, and faithful in delivering that word, for that is the word of God. Could I remind you that this is the message that challenges the hearts of men? I'm sure I speak for many in this congregation. I get sick and tired of listening to men who are supposed to be Christian ministers standing before congregations delivering messages that do nothing to challenge the heart. You've heard such messages, I'm sure, time and time again. May God deliver the Free Church. from that kind of ministry. Peter, the apostle, stands before the people of his day on the day of Pentecost. And what is the message he preaches? It is, ye, you took the Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye slew him. And what happened? They were pricked in their heart. And their heart was challenged. What shall we do? Oh, that cry would go up over and over again. Our message is to be a challenging message, and it is to be a persuasive message. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May that be the character of every message that is delivered from this pulpit and throughout our churches and throughout the work of LTBS across the airwaves. May we be faithful. You'll notice here, therefore, that Ezekiel has to preach to a very difficult people. That is the same congregation that LTBS is to preach to. It's the same congregation that any person has to preach to. You notice, secondly, here, the commission that Ezekiel is given. First of all, it's divine in its origin. If you look at verse 3, Ezekiel is told, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. God says, I send you, Ezekiel. I send you. Could I remind you that God has given to the church a great commission through Jesus Christ, his Son. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know this congregation in Bethany, so I know that what I'm saying isn't applicable to the church as such, but I do want to say it nonetheless, so the message burns into every single heart here. We are not here merely to see to a select few. We are not here merely to speak to a certain number. But the church must ever realize it is to reach out into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every opportunity it gets, it is to seize and take hold of that opportunity if it is right and agreeable with the Word of God, and go forward with the message of the Word of God. Be that across the airwaves, be that to the far regions of the world, be that to the cost even of human life. The Word of God must be delivered, and the message to the church must be, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I have a fear in the free church, and it's this, that our young people fail to appreciate the message of Jesus Christ to the church. Yes, we thank God for those that reach out into their community. But across this world, there are heathen lands that have never heard the Word of God. Even on our very doorstep, if we think of mainland England, Scotland and Wales, we think of the south of Ireland, who goes to those places to preach the Word of God? To leave family, friends, healthy churches behind and go forward with the message of the Word of God. Go into all the world, Christ says. Oh, that the hearts of God's people will feel the challenge of that great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ again. And I tell you this, that is the mark of a healthy church. A church that is on fire for God, when it is sending forth laborers into the harvest fields. Could I remind you that results, you leave results with God. Spurgeon once said, preach as if all depended upon you, but realize this, God is sovereign. Do you notice here in this passage what God has got to say to Ezekiel? In verse 5, he says, they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Child of God, you've discovered this, I'm sure, as you've sought to witness. How oftentimes the word seems to fall on deaf ears.
But remember this, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, you notice, as it were, the brackets are in there, for God, by the Holy Spirit, emphasizes it. They are a rebellious house. Do not be surprised at the hardness of the hearts of men and women and young people. It is not to be taken as something surprising that there is a rejection of the Word of God. You and I are to go forward with zeal, with the message of the Word of God. I suppose one of the frustrating things in the work of radio is you hear so little, especially here in Northern Ireland and even in the mainland, back from the broadcast. But we have to remember, it's a hard, hard heart that we're speaking to. You know this, but here's the Word of God. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, you leave the results with God. I have a man in my congregation. I have spoken to him many, many times. The other day, I had to go and visit him in the hospital. From time to time, he would take suddenly ill. And I remember I went down, I suppose it was Friday, and I prayed, Lord, not so much that I would have an opportunity, for I would just take it anyway and ask him outright, but more that the Lord would give an opening into his heart. I went down, talked with him for about 10 minutes, general conversation, and then he flicked me on the shoulder. I've something to tell you, he says. With tears in his eyes, he said, when I took ill on Wednesday night, I gave my heart back to the Lord again. And I thought, that shows you the power of God's Holy Spirit and what God can do in the heart and life. Don't you give up praying. Don't you give up witnessing. Don't you give up laboring. You continue on. You leave the results with God. Leave them with God. You notice there was a courage required. For in verse 6, he was told, be not afraid of them, neither afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dost dwell among scorpions. Not a very healthy place, is it? Very difficult environment. There's a courage required. May God give us courage in the work of the gospel. A courage that will defend all the great truths of the Word of God. The ones that the world feels are negative, may we have courage and conviction to be able to preach and teach those things that God's Word says. Time is defeating me, but you notice he was a watchman. We didn't read that, but in verse 17, he says, Son of man, or God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. And of course, if you read that passage, God speaks of Ezekiel clearing his hands of the blood of the people that he warned. That's a solemn message, isn't it? A solemn message. There are people that we have an opportunity to witness to. Did we take it? Did we take it? I'm going to tell you, I'm a Calvinist. I believe that God has elected a people unto salvation. But I believe this too. I believe that God requires things of our hands. Oh, that God would help us to clear ourselves of the blood of the lost in the witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God seize upon our hearts and give us a drive in the work of God and in the evangelization of them. Very quickly, I want to bring the message to a close, but I want to point out something. In verse 15 of chapter 3, Ezekiel, he comes to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Kibar. There's a little phrase in there. I sat where they sat. Do you see what Ezekiel was to do
In chapter 2, the opening verses, he's amongst the captives by the river Kibar, but now again, there's an expression here that says, he sits where they sit. Now, some people think that Christians, now that they're saved, they should, as it were, remove themselves from the world, those the Church of Rome, and the mystics of that early age got a hold of this idea that they should go and live in a cave and they'd be more holy. They obviously didn't read their Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the great high priestly prayer, John 17, he didn't pray that his people might be taken out of the world. He prayed quite the contrary. I pray not that they be taken out of the world, but that the Lord would keep them from the evil. Do you know what? The Lord Jesus has us here in this world. Not to partake of its sins. Not to identify with its sins. He was separate from sinners, but he sat with sinners as well. And he spoke with them. And child of God, God has you in the place where he has you in order that you might, as it were, sit among the unsaved and be a testimony and a witness to them concerning the grace of God. Isn't that why God takes someone from that walk of life, this walk of life, the other walk of life, saves them, that they might be a pattern to all those that should believe? That's why God took Paul, a persecutor, saved him, so that the Christians might know God could even save such a man as he, a murderer of believers. That's the power of the gospel. Ezekiel sits where they sit. If we think of the work of LTBS, in a very pointed way, that's very true. The radio sits where people sit. Listen to the Word of God. Oftentimes an environment that we could never be in, for we could never be in many homes. There are Roman Catholic homes where the radio's put on across this province and across the border, listening to these programs. I don't suppose we would ever have an influence otherwise. We sit where they sit. Oh, may God give us a heart to sit among the unsaved, to witness to them of the things concerning Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you in closing. The time is really defeated, but I will point out a few things in chapter 2. There are encouragements in the work of God, despite the difficulties. First of all, there is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." But I want you to notice something. Ezekiel didn't stand on his feet by his own strength. For verse 2 says, "The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." Even in the very act of standing up to listen to the Word of God, Ezekiel has to know the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we've lost something of that in this denomination. Used to be in prayer meetings, you would hear believers who knew something of the power of God's Holy Spirit. And they would cry that God by His Spirit would come once again with a divine anointing upon His people and upon His church. See, there's something we have to remember. Without the help and power of the Holy Spirit, we can't even do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to have buildings. It's great to have facilities. But you know, it's all nothing if we do not have the Holy Spirit. You know, the early church, it spent 10 days praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to come, and they had the day of Pentecost. I remember a man preaching. I used to go up in the recording room somewhere up there. Jordan Khan is dead and in the glory now is from India. But I heard that man say, of those who think that there's no revival to come upon the church, let them spend 10 days in prayer.
like the apostles of old, then let them say that there can be no pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God upon His work. Oh, let us get a hold of that. That is an encouragement, is it not? For every work of God, may we know divine anointing and the power of the God's Holy Spirit upon us in the work of God. If you notice there at the end of the chapter, and we mentioned these things quickly, at the end of the chapter you have that book, the roll of a book. Of course, in those days the scriptures were written out upon a roll, not a leaf form of a book that we have today. But this roll was sent, and in it was written, within and without, lamentations, mourning and woe. The Word of God can seem like that to a lot of people, as if it's a lamentable book, a woeful book, a book of mourning because of the things that it says. But if you go to chapter 3, you will see that Ezekiel was caused to eat the roll. And it says there at the end of verse 3 of chapter 3, "Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." I think there's a beautiful picture there of how to receive the Word of God. Despite the difficulties of the flesh in imbibing the teaching of the Word of God, there is a sweetness in this book. And you know what makes this book sweet? You should know the answer as a child of God. It is Jesus Christ in the gospel. That's what makes every word of God sweet. You are unsaved. It may seem to be unpalatable to you to receive a message that tells you you're a sinner. You're lost without hope. The only way you can receive that word is to receive Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's how God is known. For God hath made Himself known in the face of Jesus Christ, His own dear Son. And through the blood atonement and the sacrifice that He made upon Calvary's cross, there's peace with God, sinner, for you, if you will come to Jesus Christ. That's what will make the Word of God sweet. Child of God, for you and I, every word of this book becomes sweet the moment we contemplate Jesus Christ. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Have you found your hands slackened, your knees weak in the work of God? Consider Jesus Christ. As the challenge of the Word of God here regarding the evangelization of the lost fallen on, as it were, a deaf ear, then you should consider Christ. And as you consider Him and what He did for sinners, then there's nothing you can do but go forward in the work of God. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3 quickly. The Spirit takes him up. Verse 14, the Spirit lifted him up. Chapter 3 and verse 14, "Took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon you, upon me." There are many today. There are ministers. They're abandoning the ministry. There are believers backsliding. There are believers who once were zealous for God, but they're not zealous anymore. You know why? Because they find themselves embittered. Ezekiel must have looked upon the captivity, contemplating the hardness of their hearts, the rebelliousness of their nature, and he says, "In the bitterness, in the heat of my spirit." The idea here is that he was hot with anger, bitter, because of what he was observing. And there's many a woman, many a man, who in the work of the Lord, that's where they are today, in bitterness and in anger, because of what they observed. But you notice Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon him. See, in everything you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you in such a place, child of God? That's where you've gotten to. You can never do anything for God in that spirit. You must have the hand of the Lord upon you to, as it were, soothe your soul and content you in the work of God. Oh, may He place His gracious hand upon you. You will see that in the hand of the Lord came upon him, then he was able to sit where the captives sat. In verse 15, you can never have a heart for the work of God with a bitter and a hot spirit. You must know the gracious influence of the Holy Spirit upon your life and upon your heart if ever you're to communicate the gospel in the manner it should be. We've looked at this man, Ezekiel, who sought to bring a word from God, I trust it has been. A word also in connection with the work of LTBS to remind you that we're under a great commission to go forward with this ministry. I trust you'll take it upon your heart. I know some may have to go on. I appreciate that. But I trust that many of you will remain, observe the DVD, go away heartened at what the Lord is doing, and pray for this work. I'd like to take the opportunity of thanking you for your support down through the years for this radio ministry. I trust you will continue to remember it and to pray much that the word of God might be spread and it may go forward. I know time is gone. I want to close the meeting. We'll do so in a word of prayer, but before I do so, if there's one you're not saved, the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. You get right with God. Come to know Jesus Christ. Get to the Savior this evening. There's cleansing, there's pardon, but it's through Jesus Christ. There's a relationship with God, but it's found alone in the merits of Christ and His atonement.